Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million...
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world, and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke. Don't do
If I had $1 million,
well, everyone, thanks, Jackson Jackson. Come on, he's Mr. Matt Weber on the board, Mr. Brennan Cornan with us as we do virtually every Tuesday whenever he's not like on some vacation or something. But,
he's a traveling man.
Yes, he is. He, my uncle used to say he makes Marco Polo look like a local boy. SP Futures up 13. We're trying to bounce after yesterday's pretty big debacle. NASDAQ Futures up 57. Dow Futures down 95. Yesterday we kept trying to rally a little bit, Brendan. Every time the rally, the by the dippers showed up, the got cuffed back down. Now they're trying again this morning. We'll see if it holds.
So you think that's because news keeps breaking?
Well, they obliterated. I mean, these stocks are way up, right? I mean, there's no question they've been way up. Now you've got Apple with, you know, they basically doubled their P/E ratio this mm-hmm. year. You know, I don't think I've ever. Well. I don't recall ever seeing that. I'm sure it's happened somewhere where a stock that size in a year where they didn't, their earnings were almost exactly the same as the year before, it doubled. And, a lot of it has to do with the interest rates, a lot of it has to do with the Fed, but still, that's fairly spectacular. The term price for perfection comes at you, right? And, so all of a sudden, you know, what, you got a 28% drop in travel in China, and this thing's just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's hope it's, you know, it's.
Let's hope it's starting to get contained, that they have an idea of what's going on with
it. I don't see how it would. Well, the big deal now is it contagious before there are symptoms?
And apparently it is.
that's a problem. It's a big problem. What we mean by that is, it's one thing if you can take, say a world traveler like Brendan, you haul him off the plane, you take his temperature and you figure out he's got a temperature, and then you can put him in isolation and see if he has what this thing is. It's quite another if he shows no symptoms whatsoever and yet he's already contagious. That would be like measles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna guess, not being a doctor, I'm gonna say the common cold's in that category.
I think the common cold is in that category.
Yeah. And, there's some stuff that you almost, what's the one where you, God, I'm the one who thought it up, I was supposed to know the answer. As you know, Brendan, I have an odd mind in that I don't remember a whole lot of people's names of articles I read, but I remember reading somewhere that there's a disease, very common disease, that basically when you get symptoms, you stop being contagious.
I've heard of that, but I don't know what that is. I know that there are some things that are like that when you are showing symptoms, then you're no longer contagious.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, it's pretty common. I don't know if it's mm-hmm. a flu or chickenpox or one of those things, but it's, it can't be chickenpox because the actual lesions are contagious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it's, it can be nasty. The good news is it doesn't appear that people get care right away that most of them die. I mean, mm-hmm. The thing that, it's unfortunate when you look at something like this, you don't, did we look yesterday? How many people in a regular or even like, let's say, in a semi-nasty flu year, how many people in this country die of the flu? Isn't it like 50 or 60,000?
We didn't look that up. I'll look it up real quick. I just know we looked up the swine flu from a decade ago, and about 210,000 people died in 16 months before they eradicated that. So I'll look up what the average number is.
You don't have a question?
I don't remember that many people dying in swine flu. I was pretty surprised to hear that.
I'll bet you include the 60,000 that normally die in there. Right? I mean, or something like that. I bet there's a trade-off. I mean, if you get this, mean, if two people walk into a hospital with this one and a regular flu, how can you even tell the difference? I mean, if you're a hospital worker, I mean, how tough is that?
Well, I think they can do it by the blood work when they do.
Well, sure, once they figure out what it is, but you don't normally do blood work in every flu patient.
I
think they will right now.
Yeah.
So a quick Google search says, with the impact of flu, while the impact of flu varies, it places a substantial burden on the health of people each year. CDC estimates that influenza has resulted in between 9 million to 45 million illnesses, between 140,000 to 810,000 hospitalizations, and between 12,000 to 61,000 deaths annually since 2010. So between 12,000 and 61,000 deaths annually.
What exactly does being in a hospital for the flu get you? Unless you get so dehydrated you need intravenous. I mean, there's no drug for it. I mean, why not?
I don't think I've ever had the flu in my life. Is that weird? Maybe I have, but I don't know. I don't remember ever having it.
Well, there's the flu they call now is the like the upper respiratory. I mean, I remember getting the stomach flu and things like that, where all of a sudden you were. You're fine 1 minute, and for the next 24 hours, would have lasted 4 days, you'd have been dead.
Yeah, it feels like you're dead.
Yeah, I don't...
I've also never had a flu shot in my life.
I've had like one or two. Well, I had the swine flu shot.
I get the flu shot every year.
I think...
Yeah, look what's happened to you.
I think it's obviously a very good idea to get vaccinated and get your appropriate shots, but for whatever reason, I've never gotten the flu shot, and I've never gotten sick.
Well, they miss every year.
And so I wonder if, I don't know if that's correlated or not. I don't know. Or if I'm just lucky or what. Well, I never get sick.
Sometimes it's very difficult to tell the difference between a cold and a flu. Right, Brennan? There's like an upper respiratory flu. Do they even call it flu now? That's the GI flu, or what do they call that now?
I think they still call it the flu, but I think you're right. Sometimes people think it's just a severe cold that they have.
Yeah.
But I often think of the flu as just body aches, really bad body aches, more than a cold, which I think of more congestion and maybe a hacking cough. But
you'll get more of a fever with the flu, for sure.
Fever and body aches, just you hurt all over.
That's what I think of, too.
And then you also make many trips to the restroom.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, a lot of times the flu that these guys are talking about, they're not even mentioning that. They're talking about, that's what made the one in 1918 so bad, is it actually affected the lungs as much as it did the your sinuses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The sinuses and stuff, not only is life threatening, but anyway, it's a very tough deal. But when you look at how this stuff, the more you dig into it, it's pretty bizarre. Because I've been reading about this for 4 days, knowing we've been talking about it, and there's stuff that there's viruses that affect humans, viruses that affect animals of various kinds. Usually birds or pigs, because that's what people are closest to.
Well, isn't that how this one started again in an open market?
You know what?
In China?
But they think this one came from a snake, which I've never heard before.
Yeah, I thought that they discounted that.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah, it's more pig related.
Well, these things are constantly evolving, right, or changing. And the interesting part is can one jump from a pig to a human, which I guess happens a lot if you're around pigs. Not a lot, but it can happen. But then now, is it contagious from you to your wife?
How close do you have to be with these pigs? Like, are these people, like, rolling around with these pigs? Or, like, what the hell's going on?
I don't think they're making love to
Jesus
them.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, you're right near them.
No, I think...
You really get that close to them?
You're as close as you do to somebody on the L.
Well, that... I mean, do you?
No, I...
I don't
what
think
I,
you do.
Part of what I saw was that... people are consuming the pigs. The pigs are being sold in live pigs are being sold, taken home and consumed, and that the virus spreads through eating them, preparing them. And
okay,
eating
that
them.
Would make sense.
Yeah, but how many times? I mean, even if you go to a zoo or any place or upstairs, what if Venkman was a pig? And I go up and pet the little guy in the head if he ever came near me, and all of a sudden on the way down,
dogs are not pigs.
I'm just
what
saying.
What the hell are you talking about?
But I'm saying if you go to a live place and people are going to buy the animal, there's a lot of back and forth with the things snorting and everything.
There is? Are they rolling? Like, what are they hugging these pigs? What are they doing?
Some of the stuff is in the air. They're breathing, right?
I mean, I guess. But I don't know how close you're getting
to
these.
But I'm saying
pigs.
All it takes is for the virus to get on your hand and you to rub your eye. Right?
So you're rubbing these pigs?
I mean, you might be touching them.
Why?
Well, the guy who's...
If you're going to buy him, you want to make sure that
the guy who owns him probably is.
I assume the guy that's, like, slitting their throats at the slaughterhouse is like wearing a mask and gloves and everything.
Okay, no, so we're not talking about a U.S. slaughterhouse.
I doubt that.
In China?
And you might be, you might be right. I don't know.
I think it's very unlikely that they would have all the OSHA requirements.
Well, that's what I'm sort of trying to get to is that the degree of being infection-dumb, if that's a word, is dramatic. Some basically you probably got to be maybe dealing with a sick pig or something. The next one is you touch the pig, you shake hands with somebody, he puts his hand in his eye, he's got it. I mean, that's why it takes a while to figure out how contagious it is.
Manny, think about when you go to the butcher store and you say, give me that steak over there, and the butcher just reaches in and grabs a steak. In the China market, you just, let me see that pig over there.
Yeah.
Bring the pig over here. Let me see him. And so you just want to make sure that it meets all your specifications for your meal that night.
For pig,
that could be, yeah. I mean, I guess. That makes sense.
Well, I was reading that one of the most infectious things there are is measles. It says if you sneezed or coughed in a railroad car by yourself, and people came in afterward for 2 to 3 hours, it's hanging in the air, and you're not even there. And God help you if you sneeze and then touch the posts on the way out to steady yourself. That's another 2 or 3 hours. And somebody was telling me last night that they found some kind of viruses that aren't very lethal. Thank God that if somebody touches an airline thing, 96 hours later they're still alive on the airline chair handle. But their viruses don't do anything. I mean, that's the whole point. There's a gazillion viruses and bacteria around it that don't do anything, at least for humans. And there's a lot of the stuff that affects
we're
pigs.
We're immune to.
A lot of stuff that affects us, the pig can't get sick from. Same way with birds. There's bird virus. That's why they have to figure out, okay, this one jumped from a pig to a human. That can happen. But now is it capable of jumping from a human to another human? And does that degrade after time? See, obviously you didn't read a...
Doesn't not only degrade, but does it mutate into something that can be worse?
Well, the Tom Clancy book about the Ebola. I forgot the name of that one, Brendan. Did you read that one?
I don't remember that one.
But it had to do with somebody putting this Ebola virus out there, and a bunch of people got it, and this started with some nun who wasn't careful, took off her glove, got an itch in her eye, itched her eye, when she was taking care of Ebola people.
I believe it's called Executive Orders. Is that right?
Must be.
I just Googled Tom Clancy book about Ebola, and that's what came up.
Yeah.
But it's Jack Ryan. The show Jack Ryan is based off of it, if
right.
anyone's seen that show.
Mm. By the way, if you want to come downstairs, I have it.
I have it, too. I've seen season one, which
I'm
I thought
talking
was
about
pretty
that.
Good.
I'm talking about the book.
Oh, the book. I thought you were talking about the show.
The book is always better than the movie.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, and Tom Clancy's got a lot of good books.
I don't want to be thinking of Maddie in the terms of the guy in the OEX bit. He traded down by the Schwab guys. This big muscle head. He was like a weightlifter muscle head kind of guy. Muscle body and muscle head. So he comes back for Christmas, and my buddy Bob Bage used to trade right next to him. And so Bob goes, hey, so what'd you get for Christmas? And then I got a book. What am I supposed to do with a friggin' book?
Read it?
And Bob says, I think that says it all. But anyway, just because it's contagious, say to Brendan, and Brendan gives it to you, then the question is it as strong in you as it was in Brendan? Or does your immune system beat it up enough to maybe you changed it? And the same thing if Brendan, now the strain that jumps from Brendan to me, is it as strong as the one you might have been dead in 12 hours? Maybe I could fight it for 2 days before I die. Well, the thing is weakening. So sometimes a 2, 3, 4 person, and that's why you got to be real careful. Some of these things get stronger. That's what happened in 1918, Brendan, I didn't realize. It went through, like, the world and came back again it made a mutation and came back. The first time, it didn't really kill anybody.
Was that the Spanish flu?
Well, the Spanish flu that came from Kansas, yeah. Well, they're still not exactly sure. Most people think it came from Kansas, not Spanish, even though it's known as the Spanish
flu. I researched this yesterday. Most people actually think it originated in France. A few people think it originated in Kansas. But the reason it's called the Spanish flu is because Spain was not part of the World War I press censorship that was going on, so they were openly reporting about the flu, and none of the other news organizations were reporting about it because they didn't want to hurt morale during World War I. So everyone called it the Spanish flu because the Spanish were the ones reporting it. And in Spain, they call it the French flu because they believe it came from France and they didn't want to be associated with it. And so they call it the French flu. And so when you say Spanish flu, the people in Spain have no idea what you're talking about. They call it the French flu.
Well, I think that the problem was, Maddie, is maybe the second iteration where it mutated into the thing that killed everybody. It was the second time through. Maybe the second iteration was France and Spain. But
could be, but the research I did yesterday is no one knows actually where it originated. There's theories.
Okay.
Many say France, many say Kansas, or one guy says Kansas. But it was in a ton of military camps all over the world.
Well, it started in Fort, well, the version I read, it started in Fort Riley, Kansas, but that was the first version where it just, what they called it, the 3-day flu. He's got a big fever and 3 days later you're okay. And somehow it made it, you know, to the World War I camps and everything like that. And somewhere along the line it mutated and came back again and killed everybody. Cause there was a,
crazy.
It was a, what's the name of the place in, outside of Boston? There was a fort there. 1,600 people came down with it in one day, Brendan.
Hmm.
Wow. Like one guy walked into the infirmary and like by the end of the day there were 1,600 people in there or something.
Wow, that's a pretty fast spreading place.
Yeah.
And ultimately, 500 million people were affected by it and 50 million people died. Which is insane. 50 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Including 675,000 Americans.
Well, the pictures of people like in, they look like big gymnasiums just on cots sitting there, you know, in bad shape.
The Americans were the luckiest out of everyone, it sounds like. I mean, we had, percentage, the least amount of deaths.
Well, because we have the best amount of care.
That's probably a big part of it.
I don't know if that was true back in 1918.
Well, when I say that, one of the biggest, I mean, how many people do we know that had the measles? Everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't think anybody that I know of really had a big problem with it, much less dying,
mm-hmm.
other than being home miserable for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying the 50s or 60s housewife on a world scale was an incredible caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you were warm, you were fed. Where in Civil War camps, I think measles was the single biggest killer.
It might have been, but there are also things like dysentery and other things that.
Well, there were all a bunch of different diseases you could spread around. So, but I mean, it was brutal in a camp where people were cold and didn't have the right food and everything else.
You're right, but my point from earlier was that I don't know that the U.S. was the best healthcare in the world in 1918. I think we are lucky that we didn't have the brunt of it, but you know the healthcare was not comparable to what it was.
Well, I'm not talking about medicine. I'm just talking about being in a home in the U.S. You know, even in 1918, that you had heat and food was reasonably better than a lot of people were dealing with.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. We didn't get any drugs for measles. We were just taken care of,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we didn't get something else while we had it. I can only imagine dropping measles on somebody with dysentery
mm-hmm.
or something. I mean, right? At least we were dealing one disease at a time.
Right.
So, anyway, hey, a lot of news, Brendan, as you can probably guess.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the upshot of the Kobe Bryant thing, and boy, the more I read, wow, talk about a self-inflicted wound, huh?
Yeah.
Which is doesn't make anybody make me feel any better, but somebody was proving a point here, flying in this weather. Even though the guy was he was somebody who used to teach people to fly in conditions that weren't the best.
Yeah, but I wonder, you know, how much of that was something like Kobe Bryant saying, "We got to get there,"
and the exact same feeling,
and you're good enough to get us there. And ultimately, the pilot has the last word. Talking to some other pilots, we've seen some other pilot reports on the news yesterday. But I wonder how much pressure this guy was by Kobe Bryant to say, "We got to get there, and you know, you can do this, can't you?" And the guy said, "Sure."
But you think it was him? It wasn't the three girls who wanted to play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's you know a reasonably serious aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and this guy was not only a trained pilot, but a trained instructor. Who was trained to teach people how to fly in bad weather?
You would think, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've never even been on one, but you would think out of all the things to be in fog in, I would think that in a helicopter, your alternative is always just to come right down and land.
Mm-hmm.
But you obviously can't do that in a plane. You got to find a runway.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it sort of flew over this little town as people heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess your fallback is to, you know, drop down in a parking lot. I don't know, but anyway, whatever it is, it's still horrible.
Yeah, we'll never know what the last decision was. Maybe he was, because he dropped a lot in altitude right before the crash. He went from like 2,300 feet to 1,100 feet.
I wonder if they'll find him, motor problem too then.
No. I think he might have been trying to avoid the clouds, or else he might have been trying to land.
It's very possible, you know, obviously. All kinds of news that were kind of off the grid yesterday, because obviously we did on some of the big ones, but obviously when you have a day like yesterday, you try and look, and there's always somebody. It's an easy name for me. Yun Lee from CNBC writes about the particular, because if you look, we tried to do this yesterday morning, and we'll do it again when I get my machines up here with all the stacks. You try and pick out which areas you think are most hurt, Brandon, and if they all get taken out with the bathwater, like, we walk in, the spoos around 40, well, we're just going to celery stack, right, as you do your arbitrage. The idea then is to pick up the stacks you think are down too much. And we were able yesterday a little bit to try and figure out, okay, the McDonald's, the Starbucks, those things were all got whacked pretty good. But here, I'll just read the headlines from this one lady. Global brands Estee Lauder and Nike both generate 17% of the revenue for mainland China each year. Credit Suisse estimated based on the company's filings. Other apparel retailers with high China exposure include Tapestry, PVH, and VF, none of which I've ever heard of. What did they say about me? Citi said American hotel companies that have significant exposure to China includes Marriott, Hilton, and Hyatt. I guess we could have guessed that. McDonald's, Starbucks, and Yum China. Yum is what? Kentucky Fried and those things?
Yeah. Taco Bell, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's allegedly more pictures of the colonel than of Mao in China. They love
I've heard that.
I know there's a lot of Kentucky Fried Chickens over there.
Well, that's where they are. I would think. Not ever even been there. Well, shut. And by the way, it's the new colonel or the old colonel? Must be the old colonel.
I don't know.
I think their logo is still the old colonel.
Yeah, the new guy looks like an imposter.
Well, they've done. Yeah, they've had a bunch of new guys that they're kind of like rotating.
Yeah.
The old guy was kind of unique. Anyway, they've all shut down some of their stores in China in response to the outbreak, leading analysts to worry about the near-term revenue picture. I would think that after yesterday's performance, the railroads, and especially United, the airlines, especially United, got their behind kicked. Caterpillar was down some, but, you definitely want to zero in on those areas. But by and large, I mean, it's kind of early in the, well, let's say it's hope it's not early in the game, it's hopefully it's late in the game in this thing. But we'll go through some of this stuff. Your buddy Scarelli got indicted again, even though he's in jail. Because is that easy pickings for the Justice Department to go after a guy in jail? The S&P futures up 17.74. Oh, we got 30 seconds. Dow futures up 129. NASDAQ futures up 67. We've got those things going on. We're going to talk about the Scarelli thing. And just as an aside, Brendan, do you get the feeling when it comes to, like, mourning even somebody people cared about, like Kobe, that the mourning becomes almost marketing? Whatever the other guy did, we're going to do more?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, whatever. Also, we'll talk about Boeing being able to secure $12 billion in financing. They're looking for 10. They got 12 because people wanted to show their confidence in the place. That's for sure. I'd want to be one of those guys. We'll be right back, Mr. Joel and Cannon.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Socks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. This is Matt Weber, Mr. Brendan Cornan, and sitting here right with me. S&P futures are now, we're up, we're gaining on it here, but I don't think we're going to come back on the month we did yesterday. We're down 52. S&P futures today up 1750. Dow futures up 110. NASDAQ futures up 69. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 32. And these guys were down like 200 and some yesterday. So this is a, I won't even call this a dead cat bounce. It's 0.2%. FTSE down up 27.3. CAC around up 23.4. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei down another 127. Again, the Chinese markets are still closed for the Lunar New Year. They're claiming they're pushing the celebration out 2 years. I don't know if that means the markets are going to be closed another 2 years or what. South Korean stocks dropped 3% today, which we don't normally report on. Is the coronavirus deaths crossed 100, so that's not good. Well, we've got the bonds were 1.62, the bond minus 0.37, 10-year Japan down minus 0.03, so they've been going the other way lately. Oil up 13 cents, 53.20. These guys were $62 before the Iran thing, and now they're 53. But they're getting their butt kicked. This is after everybody at CNBC said that the stocks all this year were going to be oil stocks. They're all down like 10%. Brent down 7%, 7 cents. Natural gas 189. RBOB 149. So time to fill up the Suburban. Gold is down 380 still, but 1573, still pretty far up there. Silver 1790. Silver's ducked under 18. So gold has rallied to this thing, and silver's gone down. It's probably because silver is way more of an industrial metal, and if everybody thinks industry is going to drop. Copper under 260. Again, not a good sign if you're a Chinese investor. You like to see that mirror more toward $3. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic for the sports. Boy, a lot of stuff here this morning, eh?
Yeah, 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Some traffic building on the south side. Bishop Ford and the Dan Ryan seeing some traffic volume, but no accidents to report. I-57 looks good. Stevenson is all quiet. Eisenhower, traffic starting to build. Same for the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents or issues to report. Lakeshore Drive looks great in both directions. Suburban tollways are quiet. We have two accidents on the screen right now, and they're both in the western suburbs. Glen Ellen Road at North Avenue, which is Route 64, there's a crash. And then just west of there, Gary Avenue at St. Charles Road, out in the Wheaton-St. Charles area, there is an accident as well. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds again. We'll be slightly above freezing with a high of 34. Could have some flurries and maybe a little bit of snowfall, but not expecting much for accumulation. Right now it's cloudy and 32 going up to a high of 34. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 70 today. Right now it's clear and 46. In sports, the Bulls were in action last night. They, of course, honored Kobe Bryant at the United Center. They had the Kobe purple and gold lights and his picture on the outside of the arena, and then they did a moment of silence in the 24-second and 8-second violations to start the game. And then the Bulls won their second straight and sixth out of their last 10, holding on to beat the Spurs 110-109. Chief.
Our buddy, Joel, hey, buddy, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. How are you on this puzzling Tuesday morning?
Well, I was. If you weren't there, I was thinking about you, and somehow I was going to lead into Martin Scorsese. No, that's not good.
Martin Scorsese. Yeah. I haven't heard that name in a long time. They want to ban him from life from the farm industry in New York, right?
Well, yeah, they want to. They want him to be. They're suing him in New York.
Well, why would you think of me when you think of Martin?
It's a good question. That's why I wonder why I did. I don't know why. I mean, you're a good dude, and then there's him.
I do like Martin Lawrence, but I don't know about Martin Scorsese. what a market, huh, Chief?
Yeah,
can you believe this market?
Well, how much of it is the... obviously we think it's up here because of the Fed. I think most of us do.
Fed's not going to cut today, Chief.
No, God, no. You know what I'm saying? So you've got that going for you. You've got stocks like Apple. Not many stocks like Apple since it's the biggest stock, but it's doubled in a year without their earnings going up a nickel. So their P/E ratio is almost exactly doubled in a year, which I think you and I have very rarely seen on a stock that big. Not saying it's never been there, but it's pretty rare for that to happen. Okay, so now you've got stocks that are, shall we say, maybe a little ahead of themselves. Not horribly, but a little ahead of themselves. Now you've got this sort of a thing. Plus, Apple has somehow dodged all the problems with China and the U.S. over the last year, which you and I think together is like a minor miracle, but they have. Tim Cook came out smelling like a rose. He's in tight with the president. He was pardoned from some of the tariffs, for lack of a better term, right?
Correct.
Now all of a sudden we've got this flu coming out of there, and the question is how big is it going? And now, obviously, all your travel stocks, every stock in the transportation average was getting its ass kicked yesterday. United Airlines leading them down because they fly a lot over that way. We've got about 28% or 29% of the travel in China has been cut back, even on a Lunar New Year. So I mean, it's a question of how tough can it be? But I mean, we also have some stocks. I mean, you know, Apple could go down to 280, and I don't know if anybody really has a, oh my God, it's too cheap. I don't know. Is it? They're back down to 21 PE. You know, last year at this time we were 12. So, I mean, there's some of these stocks could give up some, and you wouldn't even wonder why. You wonder, are they looking for a reason, or how serious is this, or people just don't know? I mean, it's like you mentioned, it's a tough market.
Okay, so there were about 14 questions there,
yes,
Chief.
Yes, well, and I only just started.
Yes.
And I only just started. I could have kept going.
I'll start with Apple. Well, first of all, the overall market, I just, you know, Apple reports after the close. I don't think anybody wants to be short going in, at least the way the market's acting now, short ahead of that report. You're talking about it trading at a higher PE. Well, it traded at a ridiculously low PE for the longest time. So there's going to be a happy median there. But They are making a lot of money. They have a lot of services. Not sure about the new products. But, you know, it traded, like I said, at a very low P.E. for a long time, and maybe it's going to trade at a higher P.E. It's catching up. It makes a lot of money. So that's my take on Apple. My take on the overall market is no one cares unless we get an outbreak in the United States. That's just, you know, I mean, we've had four reported cases in Michigan. Supposed cases, they had four, three turned out negative. They're still waiting on the results of one. So, market doesn't care as long as it's not affecting the United States. And, so that from that perspective, that's my take on that. I mean, I can't give you any other explanation. There was a huge jump overnight, 4,500 people, and killed 106. So, that's my conclusion about the coronavirus.
Well, I guess what my story regarding Apple for for a company to go, let's put it this way, when it's ridiculously low in anybody's estimation or yours, that's one way of looking at it. But it's low for a reason, right? Okay, it's when you get a stock of that, when they're making a lot of money. You're right. They're low because they're out of the growth mode. And what this year basically told you is, yes, they're out of the growth mode. They didn't grow, right? So I'm saying, so normally when you get a stack, I'll say in our lifetime, you got the eBays of the world. You had, maybe someday it'll happen to Amazon, although they keep jumping to the next thing. They're pretty good at jumping to the next product. So is Netflix, by the way. I mean, they're actually both very, very good at it. They do that. But you didn't see eBay have a year when they were 40 volatility, and the next year their revenue was even, and all of a sudden the next year they're still at 40.
When's the market cared about PE? When's the market care about sales?
It depends on.
I mean, look at some of these stocks. So if you're not going to care in all these, these dirtbag IPOs, and you're going to let them go to 300, 400, 500, 600 PE, why not have Apple go to 100 PE? At least they make some money. You can justify it. So the market doesn't care. It just buys, and the systems, the other, systems buying, and it's just a crescendo effect. It's totally dislodged from the fundamentals. You can ask all these questions you want, but it's market doesn't care about PE. Look at some of these stocks have done.
I'm not debating with you on your point. What I'm saying is, it's kind of rare for a company to be this huge growth provider and all of a sudden start backing off like Apple did in its PE, and then without growing anymore, have the PE shoot out again. I'm saying that's kind of unusual to happen. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, very. Yeah, it is. It is. But how many unusual things do we see in this market?
Well,
you had dry ships go to 300.
Yeah,
you had
Beyond
Meat go to 250. I mean, you've had the blockchain stocks. I mean, this is market unusual, So I mean, that's the way I look at it. You're trying to make sense out of the market.
Well, I mean, there should be a little. I mean, usually there is
no.
In the big companies.
Bite your tongue.
Okay, right. But I'm saying you would be stunned if all of a sudden eBay went back to being valued like it was 10 years ago. Because right now people have declared it's just another retailer, basically.
Correct. I would be, but if you asked me to bet against it, I wouldn't.
Oh no, no.
If it started to move that way, I wouldn't stand in its way. So that's my explanation on that.
All right, so
not exactly what you wanted to hear.
All right, so you only got 30 seconds, so you cut out three or four of my possibilities. Now, what's actually driving us?
What's driving this market?
Yeah,
is that no one cares unless the virus hits the United States in a big way. You just forget about it, like. If you take all the coronavirus headlines off your newsfeed, you don't need to worry about it. The only thing you need to put if there's a major outbreak in the United States.
All right, but let's just hope there is not, eh? Especially not in Detroit.
Oh, knock on wood.
Right.
And if you ask me who I like in the Super Bowl,
well, yeah, who do you like in the Super Bowl?
I'm not ready to dawn on the greatest player of all time, and I'm glad we're not talking about Michigan basketball, because if they don't win tonight, we're officially off the bubble. So, as always, go blue. We'll talk to you next week.
Maybe you'll join the Irish in the NIT if the Irish even make it there.
Maybe. Not at the rate we're going now.
No. Well, Irish are up to, like, lose only by a little bit now, so I don't know if that's good or not.
It's improvement.
It's improvement.
Tough loss. Tough loss. All right, Chief.
Take care, buddy. S&P Futures up 21 now. Dow Futures up 148. Come back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Hello, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Brendan Cornan still here. Mr. Matt Weber. We also have Mr. Kenny Pulcheri back from, I'm sure he was back from, but he was gesturing away on TV yesterday, so... Kenny, were you in New York? You looked like a guy who was guiding in a plane, an aircraft carrier yesterday. You were gesturing so much.
No, I was in Palm Beach, and I got a lot of comments. Apparently, I was very animated yesterday.
Yes, you were.
I have to go back and look and watch the video.
Let's put it this way: if you were there on the ground, the helicopter would not have crashed.
Jesus.
That was a tough.
How are you?
All right. How are you?
Good. It's a beautiful day here in southern Florida. You know, I'm sitting out in the deck looking over the Intracoastal. The sun is rising. It's gorgeous.
It's actually not horrible here. It's gloomy, but it's over freezing every day. And it's not like last year at this time. It was 22 below. So yeah. We have no complaints. So what we just had Joel Ankonen, who always has his finger on the pulse of the market, basically give up and say, I don't know what's going on. So I figure we'll have to wait for Kenny. What out of a thousand things? So I rattled off like 10 things that could be driving the market. He said, well, it's none of those. I said, okay, well, give me a few more. Anyway, What is?
I think it was yesterday, you know, when a number of people on TV made it. The market has been looking for an excuse, just any real excuse to kind of back off since it's had this parabolic surge higher ever since really October. If you look at the chart, it's up, it's just up in a straight line. And so, you know, kept looking for something, and then this outbreak, this virus now spreading beyond outside of Asia, across the continent, into Europe, into the U.S., just causing enough. And then there was some really hot headlines over the weekend, right, with Xi Jinping coming out and talking about this deadly virus and spinning out of control. And so the headlines themselves create a lot of the anxiety. And considering that so much of the market is now run by computers and automation, these smart algos read these headlines, and the headlines come out as fairly negative. And the next thing you know, the sell orders kick in, the buy orders retreat. There's a void in prices, and you see that kind of collapse. But look what's happening this morning, and I said it today in my note, which is going out any minute, is that if the world puts this virus conversation on the back burner between yesterday and today, the markets will rally. Now, whether or not this is a dead cat bounce, we're going to see. But, you know, Dow futures are up 110 points right now because that's exactly what the market did. It had all the angst yesterday. It kind of flushed out a little bit, shake the bushes. And now they're going to put it back on the back burner, like they did with Ebola, like they did with SARS, like they did with Legionnaires' disease back in 1976. After those viruses, kind of settled in and people understood and they saw where it was going, the market kind of rallied back. I don't think it's over yet, quite honestly. I think this is going to be a dead cat bounce. I think there's going to be some more angst in the market caused by this virus before we hit the bottom.
We rattle off, and this is the thing that, I don't know, Kenny, I was, first of all, I don't want this thing to go any further, neither does anybody.
But no, nor does anybody.
Yeah, but it's gaining, we have the, anybody who's, put this term, close to our age, even in the last 10 years, whatever problem comes up, you're going to kick back, put your feet up on the desk, and say, this too shall pass. Right, and I just get the it's getting easier and easier to say that. It's like out playing golf and the siren goes off. When's the last time somebody got hit by lightning? Play on, you know.
Right,
and but we are things are it's coming up a high level here, and there's we don't seem to get rid of an issue. I mean, you're right. At some point, this thing will go the way of SARS, I hope, without anybody more dying.
Well, listen, unless it turns into the bubonic plague of 1347 that wiped out a third of Europe, although I don't necessarily, by no means am I suggesting that's where it's going, but, you know, that's the other end of the spectrum. If it doesn't come under control, it could really spin out of control. Now, I don't think it's going to, but you know, those are the two ends of the spectrum. It's either going to get really bad, or they're going to get it under control. And if they get it under control, the market will rebound, and this dislocation in prices will have created a silver lining, a buying opportunity for the long-term investor.
Well, we've had, one particular stock, Apple, is priced not only like the last year of tariffs and everything else, it's hurt other people.
Perfect.
It's priced like it's good for them. The thing is doubled. I mean, if it was at 180, I wouldn't be worried about it at all, but it's not at 180.
It was up 47% in the last quarter alone. From October till now, it's up 47%. It was up 130% for the year, January 2019 till today. It's like up 130% and 47% just alone in the last quarter, all ahead of, you know, the fourth quarter, Christmas, the holiday, the shopping season, blah, 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 blah. That's all great. They took it up. Today, when they report after the bell, it's now a $1.4 trillion company. Today, when they report after the bell, if they even miss on any one of those lines, cloud services or the wearables or the iWatches or the iPhones or whatever it is, then I think, you know, you'll have people just kind of rush in and trade around it, take some money off the table. I don't think it's going to be the end of the world because I think they're going to still come out and report some crazy, ridiculous number, right? And in the end, look, yesterday when you saw the market come under, you know, under some anxiety and some stress, look at all the names that got hit the most. Naturally, it was the high flyers. I mean, Apple was down 3% yesterday. Netflix was down 2%. All the FANG stocks were down, you know, just under 2%. Because they were the high flyers. So naturally, people are going to run to them, take money off the table real quick. And you saw that a little bit in Apple yesterday. Apple's now quoted up $3 this morning ahead of what's going to be the earnings announcement. I don't think they're going to disappoint at all. And I think that sell-off yesterday is going to end up higher today for Apple.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be up You think we're going to be up 53 spoos today?
No. I don't think we're going to be up 53, but I think Apple is going to, I think Apple is going to rebound from its 3% sell-off yesterday. I think Apple alone. I think the broader market is going to have this dead cat bounce. So I don't think we're going up, 53 points on the S&P or 450 points on the Dow at all. But I think Apple specifically, because it's earnings day, it is a big earnings day. There's a lot of big names coming out. But Apple obviously is the focus, and that comes out after the bell. So there'll be tons of speculation all day long, people tearing it apart, trying to decipher what does this mean, what does that mean, what if they miss here, what if they miss there. But in the end, I think Tim Cook will be like Jamie Dimon. He's just gonna announce a stellar earnings report, and boom, it's gonna be, they'll be taking it up again.
Well, I was talking to a client yesterday, an older lady, and she was, she's not really my client. Well, I guess she is, because she's with a group that I do some money management for in the Protected Program.
Yeah.
And it's astounding. The only reason why I would need to take my money out is if Trump lost.
If Trump lost, right.
And I go,
yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I said, because, the market really, if you look at it since 2008, you almost can't really tell when the guy came in. It's gone straight up the whole way. I mean, some years better than others. So the only person who was down with was Bush. Yeah, but boy, everybody says this. It's amazing how, I'll use the term, the big lie actually works. I mean, how everybody's absolutely convinced now that if you care about your money, you can't vote for a Democrat. And yet, the whole history of the market has been about even on both parties. Matter of fact, Democrats have probably done a little better.
I think the narrative this time around is you can't vote for the far left Democrat. I don't have an issue with a moderate center Democrat or a moderate center Republican, because I think those are the people that make the most sense. But the far left or the far right, I think, creates much more anxiety.
Oh, I would agree.
Not only the markets, but for investors.
Well, I would agree. And hopefully the Democrats will settle on somebody who's, I use the term normal, but could you even use that term when you talk about politicians? I don't know.
Have we
seen the last normal person in our lifetime, if we ever saw one? Actually, I'm trying to think of who was normal. it wasn't LBJ. It wasn't Tricky Dick. I mean, for God's sake.
No. But listen, you got to take it from where it comes, right? Politicians are a special breed, and quite honestly, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm getting the sense from a lot of people that I talk to, is that people are just disgusted in general with politics right now, with what's going on in D.C., with what's going on for the last 2 years on both sides of the aisle, right? And I think people are really, really frustrated with what elected officials are doing today. And I'll be the first one to say I absolutely am. It almost makes you want to stand up, and almost say I don't even want to vote, because I think it's all baloney. But you can't do that either.
Well, I mean, you can do what I did and totally opt out. I couldn't vote for Trump or Hillary, so I voted for the third party.
Right. Yeah, you could do that. That's right. That's
you
right.
can't but do I, that you know, everywhere,
and that,
though.
And that's a protest vote I get. But, it's absolutely frustrating to sit here and watch the time that they're wasting when they could be doing actually really good things, not only for the economy in terms of fiscal programs and real reform, but instead, everyone's screaming and yelling about trying to save themselves for this 2020 election, and I don't know. I'm just,
well, Kenny, there's only so much you can do fiscally when you're $1.3 trillion in a hole to start with.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're in so deep, it's starting to look like up, right? I mean,
yeah.
Talk to you next week, buddy, and I'm sure going to watch you. I want to see you break the gesture record from yesterday. It'll be a tough one.
Goodbye.
Take care. S&P futures up 20. NASDAQ futures up 75. Come back with Mr. Mike Hart filling in. Who knows? He might be going to replace that Jeff Joseph guy. But we'll see. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now. Right
here, right now, right now. There's something happening here.
Blown up by Stacey Jackson, I'm Tom Howe. We have Mr. Matt Weber. We have Mr. Brendan Cronin. We have Mr. Mike. I'm sorry, I'm going crazy here. I'm on last names. Where are Mike Hart? Why am I? It's because
you're old.
You know what I'm doing? I can't do two things at once. I'm digging through. I'm trying to find the house district of the person who called me yesterday that I was talking to you about on the coming in the car, man. It's, you know, I can't do two things at once anymore. This is bad.
That's all right. I'll read some tweets for you while you get organized. Kevin writes in, Tom, there is more to Apple's tariff relief than Trump liking Tim Cook. If waging a tariff war with China, an advantage to Apple relative to Huawei would be a part of it.
And I will respectfully say to Kevin, who I always respect, BS. The fact is, he got in the Oval Office, and Trump came out and said, we get along well together. He made a good case for his firm. Guess what? I'm going to say Kevin could make every bit as good a case for his firm. He's just not letting the office. There's 1,000 companies that could make the case for their firm. Just saying.
Natachi says, what a stable genius. Donald Trump says he predicted Apple's stock fall based on their dumb refusal to give the option of a larger iPhone screen like Samsung.
Predicted their loss was not one day yesterday.
That's what Trump tweeted. I predicted Apple's stock fall. This is in 2014 he tweeted this. I predicted Apple's stock fall based on their dumb refusal to give the option of a larger iPhone screen like Samsung. I sold my Apple stock in January 28, 2014. What did he miss out on?
Yeah, well, I mean... Hey, not
stable genius.
One thing I cannot criticize Trump is not thinking Apple was going to double last year. So if he didn't think so, I didn't think so either. So we were kindred spirits when it comes to that.
Robert writes in, guys, this is a country that's lived through two world wars, countless illegal wars, Black Monday, .com, 2009, just to name a few. But America falls apart if we have free health care and education. People just spout this crap like it makes any sense at all.
Well, what did you think of the Supreme Court decision yesterday? Mike, did you? I don't know if you guys read into that at all. I don't think I've read a more sinister decision. Now, let me get this straight. How could this guy, now there's five Republicans and four Democrats on the Supreme Court, even though they all swore on a stack of Bibles when they got in there that they would lose that, right? So every person who's on the Supreme Court, I have zero respect for it because they get there by being a stone cold liar. You know, is that too harsh?
I think it's a little harsh.
A little harsh, but
go ahead.
Well, am I right or wrong? They tell you they're going to take every single case. And they're gonna view it on its merits. And yet I can predict every single vote of any sort of, not every single one, but pretty darn close. I can tell you're all gonna vote on every issue. So if I can do that, why not just pay me half their salaries and fire them all?
I agree with you on that.
What's the point?
Joe writes in, since when can't a president fire an ambassador chief, and why could he not insist on cooperation in a corruption investigation before providing funding? There is an agreement from 1998 covering this. And now you're a mind reader? We elected Trump to do exactly what he's doing. Just because
to be a dictator?
Just because the Dems don't like it doesn't make it impeachable.
There is a certain, I don't know, what's the word, guys? If you become, we're gonna put Mike in charge of, let's say, Pfizer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a guy in Pfizer who's been their best, you know, guy forever in a certain area. And the first time he crosses Mike, Mike's going to say, get rid of him. Right? I mean, these people that we have in these areas of the world are there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they push back on something you are doing that maybe being as untoward, doesn't mean, everybody knows he has the ability to fire somebody. But what, do you fire somebody for taking your parking place? I mean, who's available to the place? Nobody's saying he doesn't have the right to. But the point is, why would you get rid of somebody who's been, just because they disagree with you on something stupid you're doing?
Well, it's not only that, but it's the way that her reputation was besmirched,
right,
that she couldn't do anything in the future, and discounted her credibility as an analyst and as an ambassador.
Yeah, not only did this guy at Pfizer take my parking place, we don't want him around anymore. Yeah, but he's the one who invented our last five drugs. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You know, it's not a question of can you, it's should you. I've had five people now in the last 2 days call me and say, anybody gets to fire their ambassador. I know that.
Is this the first ambassador fired by Trump?
No, I don't know that.
Well, no, I'm sure that even Sondland, the guy he put into the EU, is his guy. So, I mean, he's recalled ambassadors since he's been in office and replaced them with other ambassadors. But it's not...
Mike, that's an odd question because... Don't all the ambassadors, when a new president comes in, essentially resign?
Many of them do. Yeah. Many of them do. Although I think in troubled areas, whether you're talking about a place like Venezuela or the Middle East, there's some kind of continuity because, it's one thing to be like Carolyn Kennedy, who was appointed as the ambassador to Japan. We've got good relations with Japan, and that's really kind of a glory thing. Or the guy who is...
Kennedy was ambassador to Ireland.
That
Kennedy
was the father.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Carolyn Kennedy, I think, was...
No, I'm talking about Kenny Construction. Clinton put him as ambassador to Ireland.
Right. So you've got a lot of those ambassadorships, which are treasures and prizes and rewards for people who raise a lot of money for the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got other places like the ambassador to the Ukraine or the ambassador to Saudi Arabia or someplace where there's a trouble spot and you really need expertise and long-time expertise... people who speak the language and understand the politics there, that you leave an office there for a period of time because of the continuity and because of the institutional knowledge.
Well, that's right. Mm-hmm. And now, do you think Trump would understand a word you just said? What do you mean? They work for me.
No, I don't think he would understand that.
I mean, the point is, some people have a skill set, and the people you have that have strong personalities, that was one of the late Jimmy Tyree, I don't know if you know this name, Mike. He was mm-hmm. head of Mesro.
Mesro.
And Jimmy was an unusual guy in that he was able to put very strong people around him that probably could never have gotten along with each other. They'd have been like cats, right? But as long as Jimmy was in the room, he was able to deal with that, and he didn't mind if somebody disagreed with him. Matter of fact, that's why he had you there.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a good leader.
Yeah.
And, that's right. In my opinion.
Now, the first time, the guy withholds stuff from Ukraine, and the ambassador goes, what are you doing that for? Nobody does that. That's not a reason to fire somebody,
mm-hmm.
I don't think. Mm-hmm. That's somebody saying, are you sure you want to do that? And I have to believe that a lot of times when anybody in that level wants to say something and somebody around them says, wait a minute, maybe you shouldn't go that strong with that one. That's why you have them there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I meant by the institutional knowledge. You know, that this was tried before or this was thought of before and it worked or didn't work because of, and then have the explanation, you see a historical perspective or a cultural thing. When you're dealing with somebody from a different culture, it is perceived this way, not the way that you think it is. You have to stop thinking like an American. You've got to start thinking about it from their perspective. And that's what you get from diplomats, lifetime diplomats, who understand the workings of the culture where they're assigned to.
Well, I don't know. We got to let Mike here talk in a second. But the thing, I think the trap you don't want to fall into, and again, I know people will be pissed off at this. You ready for the tweets? The trap you don't want to fall into is, I think Trump is an awful human being, always has been. Now he's not doing that horrible of a job. A lot of stuff he's done I've agreed with, okay? But there's definitely this overriding old white guy that hates everybody else tone to the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like this last Supreme Court decision. Now, okay, but sometimes old white guys can be right. Correct? But it's not like everything the guy's done is wrong. Now, there's an election coming up. If he runs against Elizabeth Warren, and I walk into the ballot booth and are the only two names on a ticket, I will probably vote for Trump ahead of Elizabeth Warren. Now that doesn't erase all the crummy stuff Trump has done and will do in the future. It just means it's a less evil. But don't drop yourself into this actually agreeing with some of his stupid stuff just because you don't want to feel like you're voting for, you know, Darth Vader. But the fact is, in a lot of ways, he is Darth Vader. But that doesn't mean there isn't a chance that I'll vote for him.
What I find interesting is, like, for example, the Cubs. So if you love the Cubs like I do and like a lot of our listeners do, you know, you're excited when they're good and you get pissed off at them when they do something that you don't agree with. But for some reason with politics, it's like you have to side with everything they do because mm-hmm. that's your team. And I've never understood that.
Yeah.
It's like we view our sports team in a way where we're happy when they win, we're pissed off when they do something we don't agree with. The Cubs let Castellanos go to the Reds, and I was pissed about that yesterday. And yet, if Trump does something that, you know, even a Trump supporter would have to disagree with, for some reason they try to justify it in, mm-hmm. in most cases, and I don't get that.
Well, the other thing is that for the politicians, to say once they're elected, they have a mandate to do whatever they want, and that assumes that whatever they say at the moment is what the people elected them to do. And it's the same point, Maddie, that I didn't elect Trump or I didn't elect whoever it is to for everything that they stood for. There are some things that they said that I disagree with vehemently.
Well, when you win by 48 votes and you declare a mandate.
Yeah.
Nobody, these guys never know. There are, I'd say, the three people in this room, probably, if there was 4 million votes for you and 3999 against, might have a thought that says, boy, there's half as many people don't like me. What can I do to possibly, you know, hope that next time I can bring some of those people into my side of the team and show that I'll be fair to everybody?
Not me. If I win, even by one vote, I've got my mandate.
Well, or not only that, you're gonna find how the 3.99 million people were and punish the hell out of them for four mm-hmm. years because they didn't vote mm-hmm. for you. Not that Trump would ever do something like that, like he does it all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just make sure that there won't be that many people able to vote who I know voted against me.
Well, that's right. The
Right, Kevin says, is an ambassador telling a country's leadership to outlast the president because he will be impeached a firing offense?
It happens all the time, by the way.
Well, there's a dispute as to whether she said that. And that, remember, the source of that was Lev Parnas talking to Trump in a dinner, in a private dinner. I don't know that there's a lot of veracity to that comment.
These are the same people that think that everything Lev Parnas says against the president, you can't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But everything he says for him, you can believe. I get my right-wing crap every day, and it's a huge litany. And, you know, we got guys like Mike Hart. Now, he doesn't even know it yet. But now Matty is dutifully, because he's becoming a Trumpy. He would never do that.
What?
Matty,
I'd vote for a box of Wheat Thins before I voted for Trump.
But you are voting. You are now.
The fact that you said you'd vote for Trump over Elizabeth Warren like makes my hair stand.
Well, there are people that I could vote. I couldn't. I would think.
And I'm no Elizabeth Warren fan, but Jesus, guy's an imbecile.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes. All right, now, but I'm saying you're researching Mike Hart, and now he doesn't even know that he's got a cousin that got some deal with the Ukraine 25 years ago. Now, the stuff I get from the right, and here's Joe Jamoke, Democratic senator from Oshkosh. Joe Jamoke's cousin had a deal with Ukraine in 1942, so Joe Jamoke must be... Where do these people get this stuff? And anybody that they've ever known, every person they don't like, they do whatever they... that votes against them, they'll dig into their background and they find some reason why they're a bleep. But this is going on every day. I get this stuff. I'm like, wait a minute. What are you guys doing? Get a life. I don't know. Do you see this stuff, Mike, or not? Or are they just sending it to me because they love me?
Well, I mean, not so much as far as politics go. I spend a lot of time looking at, how the market's interpreting what's going on with the presidency. And what I find really interesting is this year especially, typically we see an inverse relationship between the price of, say, the S&P 500 and the volatility level. So as the price goes higher, volatility goes lower. What's happening this year is the price has been going higher, volatility has been going lower, as we expect, but there's almost like a floor to volatility. And I would attribute that to the election this year. So the question is, how much of a premium is the market placing around the presidency? So what I did is I went back to 2016, which is very similar to the type of movement we've had this year, and we were much lower on the VIX than we are today, and actually today we're a little bit higher as of yesterday, but let's say we were trending around 12%. In 2016-17 we saw 9 print in the VIX, so there's about a 3-point premium being added. And what does 3 points translate into the VIX? That's plus or minus 3% move over the course of a year. So as of right now, that's what the market's pricing in.
But aren't you seeing a spike in November?
You are. And that's given the sell-off yesterday. We actually saw VIX go close to 18.5. 18.5 is, if you went back to 1990, 18.5 is the average. So we're right at the average print, even though it feels really high, because, you know, the past 3 or 4 years we haven't seen.
Yeah, but it's certainly not the median.
It's not the median, no.
The median would be way lower.
Yeah, it definitely would be, but you have to go back to 2008 when we saw a print of 80. And
you could go to 1987 and see a print of 300.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty high. When they told half the people, you can't sell any puts until the other people, you better buy them no matter what. That'll do it. Which is essentially what the regulators did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have a guy, and I won't launch into my, who basically tells you daily that he's the reason for the stock market to be up. So anybody who, you know, even though you if you're in the industry, you kind of let that, you know, like water off a duck's back. The fact is, people start to believe it.
Well, that's true, and I thought you brought up a good point, Chief, where you said, you know, historically, when you look at the party lines and both sides of the parties and how they did as far as stock market performance, you actually, interesting fact, they were pretty neck to neck or really close to each other, and you said even the Democrats might have had a little bit of an advantage.
Well, they definitely have an advantage.
I find that, you know, that's an interesting stat, but it's not surprising to me. What we find in the market is randomness in the market. So random price movement is a theory, and I completely understand that there's another side to this, but the idea...
Yeah, careful with that one, because the random walk theory, sure. When I was in Chicago, those guys were...
Oh, yeah. No, I know, but...
They were talking about tick to tick. They weren't talking about week to week.
Okay, so if we go back, I go back to 1990, and we can even go back to 1950, and we look at the consecutive up days versus consecutive down days. It's almost scary how close they come to a perfectly normal distribution. It's skewed a little bit to the positive side just because there is a positive drift right. In the market.
What four presidents since the Dow was invented have had the Dow was down during their tenure? Can you two gentlemen name them? And I'll bet you can. Matt Weber probably can because he's heard it before. Come on, a couple of them are easy.
Roosevelt,
Carter.
I would have said Roosevelt would have been anybody's last choice, but you were right. It was his second term, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not his first term.
Mm-hmm.
Was it down for Carter?
Nope. I just said one Democrat, three Republicans. So we just did the Democrat.
George W. Bush.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Come on, you're missing the obvious one.
Who, Nixon?
Well, he was. How does Brendan always get the hardest ones and then claim that he's... Hoover would have been the hardest, easiest one. But you're right. It was Tricky Dick, Bush, Hoover, and Roosevelt.
Yep.
Roosevelt's the only Democratic guy who's ever had a down market in his tenure.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, everybody will tell you that Democrats are horrible for the market.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody wrong, or they don't read, or what's the matter?
Here's my question: what I find interesting over the course of time. Obviously, you know, the market's going higher, and it does have a lot to do with fiscal policy. That being said, you know, where are we kind of going with this?
Well, we're saying that people are looking at the politics. Running the market, and historically, it just hasn't happened, right? I mean, you look at where I would say the thing, there was a guy, Rick Santelli had a gentleman on the other night, and just to prove, guys, I'm not the only one, the only idiot out in the woods barking, the guy was talking, this guy gets on the, and he was way younger than me, he says, Santelli goes, all you gotta do is put Fed policy, a curve of Fed policy, when they expand too fast or drop, or then have to contract, put it on top of the market, shove it about 3 months before, and you got the market moving for the last 30 years. I'm sitting there going, where did this guy come from? He's either listening to me, Matty, or he's a buddy of yours or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, or whatever. He knows more than I do, which is very possible, too. But the Fed has been controlling the market movement really now since the 60s. When I say not the level, Mike, like you're talking about, the level here, well, maybe not this week, but the market's moving where it's moving because companies are growing and those kinds of things.
Sure, absolutely.
But in terms of the market movement, the violent moves up and down, virtually every one of them has been the Fed.
Well, yeah, and I think that's kind of the big story here. You know, you mentioned over the past 10 years, you can't really, you know, Trump taking credit for the market's rally. Well, it's understandable if you're the president, you can say I'm responsible for that, but I think you're absolutely correct. I think, you know, the reason why we've seen an appreciation to the magnitude that we've seen it is because of monetary policy and because of, I think you can break it down to very, very simply stated that you increase the money supply, things are going to change. And that's exactly what the Fed,
sure.
What the Federal Reserve did.
Well, what you do is, but there's a trade-off. If you drop the interest number down, people who are savers lose money.
That's
relative
correct.
To where mm-hmm. they are. And people who own assets, you drive the price of the asset up. People who own assets do better.
Mm-hmm.
It is clearly a class warfare type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea the idea that over a long period of time that, I mean, this is the part that I guess, because I read too much when I was young, this is the part that's absolutely wrong, is that in the long run that you can make your economy better by pouring money into it.
Right, and, you know, that experiment's been tried. I mean, this
yes.
isn't... And that experiment's... I don't know if there's an example in history where that experiment actually worked.
Actually, the examples are the opposite, because there have been times when They've drained money out of the economy, and the economy has prospered.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, one of the biggest growth, I should quote this, I should bring the book in, Milton Friedman, in the history of monetary policy. After the Civil War, when you have all kinds of inventions, believe it or not, during the Civil War, you wouldn't think there were, but there were. When people went back home, there was a huge push. And it wasn't like they had washing machines and things like that, but still there were inventions. And the economy was growing dramatically. And yet the government, because they had went off the gold standard during the Civil War, had issued greenbacks, which, mm-hmm. hence the name greenback, they were backed by the fact that they were green, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you had Confederate currency, which came off the market, right? So the shrink in the money supply was dramatic.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because the government wanted to go back on the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
And we had too many dollars out there to do that. We didn't have gold. So you had to shrink the money supply, and yet the economy continued to grow as prices were going down. So over the long pull, you can't mess with it. You can mess with the timing. And what you have now, and this is the weird, the part that, Brandon, I think you'll probably agree with me on this, although one never knows. In the late 70s and early 80s, the inflation got so involved in the system, and I don't expect you might not even have been here, Mike, but
mm-hmm.
The point was there was an infrastructure there and just how you talked about it. You didn't come out like the president does now and say, we're going to have a 4% growth this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the term, you always talked in terms of nominal growth and real growth. Because when you have a 12% inflation year, you couldn't get away with walking out as the head of my card enterprises and say, hey, we did 8% better last year. And everybody would go, wait a minute, Mike, inflation was 12%. It sounds like you did worse.
Right, exactly.
You would have to say, we did, our revenue was up 15%. 3% of that was actually increased widgets, and 12% of that was price. So now when people talk about, where we're going, it's all nominal.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get Home Depot coming out and saying our same store sales are up 3% last year. By the way, plasterboard was up 10. They're never going to tell you that now. And I don't know how you find it. So you have, I don't have a pro, I actually think that Trump is going to get his 4% growth.
Yeah.
Nominally.
And you look at the past, going back to just the internet age or, maybe a couple of bubbles before. But, the price of these assets can just, bubble out of control. The appreciation of Apple, for example, is, tremendous. As we were talking about, up 100% or more this year alone. It's a massive company to double in price.
Well, right. Well, not to be I'm trying to be a professor here because I wouldn't be very good at it. But you look at your capital asset pricing model. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Something is worth the income divided by the interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the interest rate gets down to 0.05, how do you value anything?
Yeah, well, and I don't know, does normal economic theory go out the window at this point? Because nothing, you start trying to put things in economic terms, and a lot of things don't make a lot of sense.
We can ask our friend across the table, Brendan, who's a marathon runner, 100 times. Brendan, when you started, people probably didn't even know you were supposed to drink some water along the way.
Or if you did. In fact, that was a bad thing.
So then all of a sudden, people started drinking some water, and all of a sudden people got hung up on this water thing. The people drank so much of it, they croaked by drinking too much of it.
Right. Happened on training. You're exactly right.
So it's like anything else. Having
the
interest
pendulum
rates,
swings.
Yeah. Well, if interest rates go from 7 to 6, it's probably a good thing for mostly all concerned, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it goes from 1 to 0.5, where are we? Especially when nobody like us, credit card rate goes down at all.
Yep. That's all the theory that more is never enough.
Right. SP Futures up 21. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Mike Hart, Mr. Brendan Cornan, Mr. Matt Weber. We have a full house here this morning and lively discussion. Plus, we got a lot of tweet guys that are firing us up here, which is always good. And then Kevin, of course, opines in and he... with the old tweet guy, so we got a brouhaha going here, but a nice one, because everybody, we all are of the same boat in this group, that we don't learn anything from anybody we agree with, right, Mark?
That's correct, yes.
But, you know what, I kind of wish some politicians were like that, but I don't think they are. S&P futures up 21, make that 22 while I'm talking. NASDAQ futures up 80, so we're trying to get the bounce from yesterday, Dow of 146. Now, mind you, we were down 53 yesterday or something, because we leaked bad into the close, even though it looked like we might come back a little bit, and then we did not. Individual stocks making a bounce back. Apple up 385. Well, the earnings are tonight. Okay, so we'll see how that goes. The straddle's like $16. So the option market is saying Apple's gonna move probably, what's that? Gonna move almost 5%. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see about that. I might try and do something where I'm not so sure it's gonna move that much. Having said that, it'll probably move 40. Because earnings are kind of tough to do. 3M, this is interesting. They're down 363. Guys, yesterday they were the only spot on the page that was green because I guess they make a lot of masks, don't they? Or something along those lines.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what happened. The masks are selling off the shelves.
Well, then they went negative during the day, and now they're they're the biggest loser today. So who knows why the hell that is? But
they're out of masks.
Well, they also had their earnings last night, so their earnings weren't so hot, obviously. So We've got Pfizer down 77 cents. Their earnings were last night as well. Boeing up 160. We got Caterpillar up 107. So a general bounce back. Microsoft up 172. I had enough with that. Around the rest of the world, we've got over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 49. It's 0.4%. These guys are down, I think, 2.2 yesterday. So that really is a dead cat bounce for them. FTSE up 34.5%. CAC around up 26.4%. Over in Asia, now careful because the Lunar New Year is still going on. So Shanghai and Hang Seng have both closed. They'll be closed. Manny, do we know? They're supposed to be closed. Oh, there's Jesus. No big accident. It's the entire group of engine company number one, which has expressway duty downstairs. Mm-hmm. Let's hope there's not a crash that they need them all. So Nikkei is the only one alive over here. Nikkei down 127.6%. Having said that, South Korea is also open. They're down 3% as the virus deaths in China hit 100. Are we believing the Chinese numbers here or no?
I'm
just
not.
As a group, you're not.
No. I think China's tough to gauge because misinformation does come out of there quite a bit. So it's hard to say. I think this is a tough one also to give misinformation about. So
10-year 1.61. Again, we got the 1.84 a couple weeks ago, and we're racking back the other way. Bund got the minus 0.17. They're down back down more negative. To 0.37. Japan got the positive by not even a point, but positive. Now they're back down to 0.03. Oil, getting its ass kicked every day, even except for today. It's up a quarter, but 53.39 was down again yesterday. Mm-hmm. Brent down is 59.36. Natural gas, 191, under $2. I wish my Suburban took natural gas. But even though our Bob's down to $1.50. So I did get gas for $2.60 this weekend. Brent, what is it in Indiana? For the Brendan Mobile.
I try to get gas over in Michigan. What was it, 277?
You could have done better in Homer Glen, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. Gold down 390, but still 1573. And this is interesting. Gold has hung in there well over 1550. Silver's come back under 18. Again, mm-hmm. when you start talking about these metals, copper 259. Copper is purely industrial. Gold is little bit industrial, but mostly value and jewelry and other kinds of stuff. Silver is kind of in the middle, so they're mm-hmm. performing just like that.
You know, what's interesting about the metals market too is the, you have that concept of flight to quality. Gold, silver are two of the metals that you might go to for quality. 60% of the time, when the market goes down, we see gold go up.
Yep.
And 40% of the time, we see silver go up. Just a little fun fact.
But there are, I don't know, Mike, you guys know probably no more. All right, okay, we'll do a sports later. Manny's got a big stir. I was just about to say that copper is considered by some people a judge for China, and it's under 260.
Yes.
Is not good for China. All right, Manny, sorry, we're too long-winded.
That's all right, 39 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're off to actually a great start today, Chief, for a Tuesday morning. We did have an earlier crash on the Veterans Memorial southbound just before 63rd Street. That crash has been clear. Still some crew on the scene and some gapers on the northbound side that's causing a slowdown on Veterans Memorial right near 63rd. But that's our only significant issue on the expressways. Traffic building on the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Southside expressways looking good. Only other crash to report is off the expressways, western suburbs. York Road at Grand Avenue, there is an accident. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds again today, similar to yesterday. A high of 34. Right now it's overcast and 32 degrees downtown. We could have some flurries later on, but not expecting much for accumulation. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 70 today. Right now it's clear and 47. In sports, only one local team in action, and that was the Bulls. They've now won 6 out of 10 and 2 in a row. They topped the Spurs 110-109.
Did that go overtime or did they win in the end?
I think it was in regulation. It kind of turned into a free throw contest down the stretch, and the Bulls were able to hang on.
Well, those guys got the one dude. They were doing the hacky shack. They were fouling the guy before he crossed half court.
For the Spurs?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't really watch the game that closely because the Bulls are kind of unwatchable at 19-30. But they're playing a little better, even though they got a couple of their core guys out.
They got some big white guy who was dominating on defense for the Spurs.
Oh.
And they were fouling the guy before he even crossed the line. He was 1 for 6 or 1 for 7, then he made one, and what's his name, took him out. Just
well, Mark Cannon is a big hit, a big loss for the Bulls right now. He's going to be out for at least 6 weeks.
Yeah, and Carter Jr. has been out too. Mm-hmm. And not that either of those guys have played particularly well this year. So, you know, they're actually playing a little better without those guys, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't know if we should introduce this into the show, but we have a reporter out on the beat, evidently, who just texted me. A gentleman in an Uber this morning, and the Uber driver is from China.
Uh-oh.
And, I, of course, I couldn't wait to say what are the real numbers. the gentleman is from Western China, wherever that means. Now, I don't want to be given... What do you guys think? What is this guy? This guy says the real number is what?
Talking about the death toll?
Yeah.
Well, where is it at now? 100?
100.
Yeah, I would say, I would do a factor of 10 on that. I just don't believe that there's this much shutdown over, it's a small amount of deaths, really, when you think about the scale. But
do you think it's maybe 1,000?
Well, I would just say it's definitely higher than 100, I would think. With the amount of impact this is having on the market, this has to be probably very serious for this to...
Well, is it a number of deaths that's having the impact on the market or the shutdown of the Chinese...
It's a shutdown.
Yeah.
It's not the number of deaths. It's a shutdown, and there's also a significant amount of volatility that's being added onto this, so there is fear in the market. You could make the case that it is because of this one news fact.
Amanda, before I say this, go sell your spoos. how does this? I don't know if I should even do this. The real number is 150,000 dead, maybe several million infected. No food or supplies are making it to the region. Stores are all empty. He laughed and said, "106 dead with billions of people is nothing to even report."
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that,
for the record, I didn't go spell spoos.
That that plays into what Mike just said. I mean, if it's just 100, it's out of a billion people or whatever, then you're right. It wouldn't even be worth reporting. 100,000 or 150,000, though, I mean, that's I think we would know that if that was the case, wouldn't we? But maybe not.
Sure,
I don't know.
I would just, let's put it this way. I would sure hope.
Yeah.
We're talking about they put a, how's this for a term? They put a noose around that city. How many miles, Matty? Like 30 miles? There's 21 million people there?
Yeah, there's a huge amount of people in those three cities combined.
No, there's 50 million. Because the city's what? 21?
The main city,
Wuhan
is like 11 or 12 million. And then the other ones around there, I think, were another 6 to 8 million.
Mm-hmm.
There are three of them that are grouped real close to each other.
Yeah, and I thought the total number was in the... Was it the year 2000? Chicago had 3 million people and was one of the 10 biggest cities in the world. Now at 3 million, which we're not even anymore, will we even be in the top 100?
I think we're barely in the top 100.
God bless. And this is after how many years of you could only have one kid?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's... Well, all these people, they all lived in the rural areas, right, Maddie? And this has been everybody coming to the cities. I mean, well, didn't...
Well, the top... six cities in world population, five of them are in China.
That is what? Mexico City or London? What's the other one?
Tokyo.
Looks like, my list is a little weird here. A city in Turkey.
Ankara?
Is it Karachi? Is that a city in Turkey?
Well, I don't know.
Or is that Pakistan? No, it'd be Istanbul, Turkey, and Karachi, Pakistan are in the top six or seven.
Bigger than Mexico. I thought Mexico City. Like
Istanbul, Turkey, is up to 15 million people.
Wow!
How big is Mexico City? I thought it was I don't know.
Mexico City is huge. Tokyo is 13.5. Let me find Mexico City here. But yeah, I got to find a better list because this list is all
And you think New York City's big?
Not easy.
You go to these other cities; it's amazing, especially China. The scale of the cities is it's mind-blowing. And, as far as the U.S. economy goes, we're really closely connected to China. And we see anytime there's bad news coming out of China, it has a direct effect on our market. We see much larger swings as far as prices go, and we just move out of a range much faster when anything is going on in China. And this has been the case probably for a while, but definitely the past 5 years.
Well, if this guy is anywhere near correct, we must be talking about something that's pretty violently contagious, which would be,
Well, that can't be good for, you know, the economy. And so I think it comes down to, you know, where flight to quality. I mentioned gold and silver. The other one is bonds. Bonds are another type of asset that we would say could be a flight to quality. So if you're looking to add diversification into your portfolio and you're just long stock and you're a little worried with, you know, just the different news events that are going on that may be negative for the market, maybe you, rather than taking size off, you add to other positions that will offset, say, a losing position.
Well, Mike, how do you run a question at you here? Because you obviously deal with the investing public and stuff a lot, and both, you know, as in a lot of different factors. How do you make a trade? Now, it's one thing for, and obviously we do bonds at PTI because people bring bonds, but we're nowhere near a bond house, right?
Right, right.
And some of the bonds that some of my clients have brought in are, you know, and Brendan can speak to this, but are like, what do you call them? The TIFs?
Tax increment financing bonds.
Some of the stuff is so friggin' illiquid.
It is liquid.
They're like 40-80, you know, type of thing. But what I'm getting with this is when I could, which I don't do this very often for a client, I could say that if everybody in the world needs a mask, I could buy 3M this week with the intention of getting rid of it, you know, come, I'll say, okay, let's believe the numbers we just were thrown. That this thing's way bigger than people thought it was going to be. The whole damn world's going to need a mask or two. I don't know how long they last.
Mm-hmm.
And 3M is going to go from, you know, 172 to 185, even though the rest of their business might pile off a little bit. I can do that in 3M. I mean, who knows if I'll be right. Mm-hmm. But I can do it because 3M is, I'll say, 5 cents wide. And when I go to sell it, it's going to be 5 cent wide.
Yeah.
And by the way, even, you know, PTI doesn't charge that much. So I can put a customer into that, and coming out, and his total cost of getting in and out is really next to nothing compared to the investment. Yet it's really hard. I mean, if I were to put somebody now, you know, everybody has a flight to quality, like you said, the bonds.
Yep.
So the bonds are running up. But they're also at a number. It's not like they're 5% or 4.5% or 4%. We're talking about a number at 1.5% on a 10-year, which...
Right, I mean...
There's no way, over a period of 10 years that I can see that number not being larger, which means... In other words, I don't know that I can buy a Ford 10-year bond and with the intention of selling it 5 months from now and not have a much bigger cost of transaction, not that we would charge more, but the bid and the offer. I don't know if I can do that with a bond.
Well, you know, the bond market's interesting. Like you said, there's a tremendous amount of liquidity in the larger future products.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of esoteric products out there. You simply do not have the liquidity. It's difficult to trade. You know, it's like anything else. Think of it as like real estate. It's not super liquid.
Right.
You have to, you know, find a price. You have to put a market out there, bids, offers, and you have to find a market. That happens a lot with bonds. The bond trading that I was sort of referring to would be the stuff that we see listed on the major exchanges.
Right, you're talking about stuff.
Yeah.
But what percentage of all bonds, I mean, we especially started getting munis and stuff, what percentage of bonds are we talking about? We're talking about if you're not doing the TLT or something like that, or like you say, Ford or whatever.
No, I am actually talking about that, like a TLT.
Okay,
front slash, you know, and then the futures, we're just talking 2 year, 5 year, 10 year, 30 year, and then the ultra bond, and then of course the euro dollars way up front. A lot of people don't know the euro dollar market. I'm not talking about euro currency. I'm talking about what would $1 million look like invested in a foreign bank. That's what the euro dollar market is. And
back up a tad. One second. Yeah. Define exactly what a euro dollar is for everybody.
So if we looked at the amount of money, say it's based on $1 million, the contract, and it's basically what is the interest rate that we would receive on $1 million in a bank outside of the United States.
Right. There is no, for those of you who are hearing this the first time, it's a dollar-denominated deposit in a European bank. Well, it used to be Europe. Now it could be anywhere,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
But you don't see that here. You can't go to Harris and drop in a whole bunch of British pounds and get a rate for British pounds in the Harris Bank. But in Europe, you can with the dollar, correct?
That, yeah.
So it's a interest rate paid in Europe on dollars. All right, go ahead.
That's right, yeah. So that actually, surprisingly, this surprises a lot of people. It's our most liquid futures market. It is, traded tremendously. I traded them professionally for several years, too.
That's why you know this stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny when you trade it, you better learn pretty quick,
yeah,
or you're in
trouble.
Yeah,
you do have to learn it. And professionally, we traded what's known as the calendar spread market. Calendar spreads, not to go too deep into this, but calendar spreads are just more or less different months. And where are those bonds priced at different months? And then trading one month off of another month. So that's a common way to trade it. That being said, if you're just looking for diversification in your account, I would avoid anything short term. So bonds are really priced over the course of time. So 2 year literally means 2 years, 5 years, 5 years. ZB, which I'm often referring, when I say bonds, I'm referring to TLT /ZB.
You're talking, you're using the definition of bonds.
Yep.
Is over 10 years, right?
That's my definition, yeah. Because from a retail.
Well, it is the real definition.
Well, it is. But from a retail trading standpoint, that's where we're going to be trading our money, because for me at least, I use it as a diversification. You can go right in there and get static deltas by just buying or selling it, or you can go in there and do you can adjust those deltas or adjust the risk with option trades.
See, we my clients want to do just the opposite.
Sure. Okay.
No, when I say that, it's everybody's convinced that over a 10 or 30 year period, these are not lasting numbers.
Right. So, interest rates go up. We have an inverse relationship in price. So as interest rates go higher, bond prices move lower. I agree with you. I think...
What I'm saying is, at least in terms of if somebody comes in and says, I really want... I'll take 2.5%. It's better than the bank. But boy, I want my 2.5%, and I want to be able to go... In other words, we'll get them a 30-year Ford bond with 2 years left on it. So
right, yeah.
It's paying 2.5%, but in two years they're going to get the check. Or God help you, if you put somebody in a 30-year bond now and those rates go to 8%, that bond's be trading 50.
Yeah, and that's a risk.
Yeah.
I think, of course, we can see negative interest rates. I don't see that happening. I don't see that experiment playing out here. So you're right. I think if you're going to bet on sort of the pot odds here. I can't imagine you'd be betting to the downside as far as rates go. They can't really go much lower.
Well, then yeah, 1.5%.
I mean, like I said, negative interest rates are the only.
Well,
we can go negative, but a few countries have tried it. I just don't see us in that arena.
But you and I are never going to be able to deal with that. That means the central bank buying a bond from a bank at a stupid number.
Yeah,
they're not going to buy it from you or me at that.
That's right. Yeah,
and it's a totally screwed up market,
right,
when that happens.
And to be completely honest, when I trade bonds, I'm just looking for that short term type of protection, or I'm looking to play off the volatility that we see. So I'm trading one or the other. Basically, I'm using it as a way to hedge my portfolio exposure, and I'm doing that because of the fact that when we do see bigger down moves in the market, there is a high correlation, and we call it a negative correlation, that bonds are going to move.
Well, just as an example, and I'm going to say somewhere late 81 or early 82, and you guys will know this, the first of all, if you trade the 30-year bond, there is actually a bond that you're trading.
There is a bond.
There is a particular 1Q number bond. And if you're a member of the Board of Trade, I don't know if they still do this, Mike, but I bet they do. Every whenever there was an expiration of that thing,
mm-hmm.
and you actually could deliver bonds, I'd get this huge thing in the mail, because I was a member of the Board of Trade at the time. Huge thing in the mail that says, okay, if you're, and well, the bond was the 8.5% bond. Believe it or not, 8.5%.
Yeah.
So they would send, they'd say, okay, if you've got the 8% bond, you got to deliver 101% or 100.92%.
Wow,
because you can deliver. It's sort of like corn is the same way. Mm-hmm. What's the? God, I'm asking Brendan. What's the standard corn? Is it grade B something something. Well, if you deliver grade A, you don't have to deliver as much, or you get, you
right,
get or
right.
if you deliver C, you got to get them carload and a half because it's all bugs or literally.
Right.
So, but they would get. But I'm saying the bond was 8.5% you traded, and guess what the price it got down to?
I couldn't even. I don't know. Definitely below a dollar. Right.
Oh, it's like 65 cents.
65 cents. Yeah.
Yeah. Which okay. means it was trading at what 14, 13?
Yeah.
No, it was more like 12.
Yeah.
Because the long-term rates never got above 12, even though short-term rates got to 15.5 or something. So we're talking about...
Different time.
Yeah, well, but I mean, what if you'd have bought one of those things at 100 cents on the buck?
Yeah.
Eventually, you got your money. But in the meantime, what if you're a money manager like me, some little old lady wanders in, drops you 100 grand,
right.
and you buy, okay, well, I'm going to put her in a long-term
bond
at 8.5%.
You know, a lot of times, we're trading yeah. in the short term with bonds. We're adding it as... We're adding it just to fit our portfolio
yeah.
and work around the numbers, but it's a short-term play. Like, I don't, it's not a buy and hold strategy like we might do in stocks where, you know, we use that positive drift in the market to our advantage. We get long stocks and, that's the majority of, investors out there are long the market.
Well, but it was a different time. If your grandmother or your mother retired, and she had a 200 grand, and you could put her in a U.S. bond for 8.5% a year. You just said, thank you very much. And all of a sudden, she comes in and says, hey, that 200 grand you put in there, my sheets say it's worth like 140.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, don't worry, Grandma. At 30 years, you're going to get your
yeah, right.
back. Well, how come it says it's only 140?
You're good.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're good. I don't look so good. but in fact, I mean, she was good. She's going to get the 8% and... But it's still...
Right. Well, you look at the current state of the market compared to... And
well, I mean, if all of a sudden something happened, you had to sell it, you're getting 140.
That's right. Yep.
I mean, which is a huge loss. You weren't going to get anywhere near, even if she gotten, you know, 3 years worth of interest on it, she's still nowhere near even.
Nowhere.
Yep. So you have to be, you know, that's... So when you... If you're the last man standing, you keep talking about, you don't think... Well, what if you're at a bank that thinks we're going to go negative interest rate, and you go buy it at even... You know, it's like the Lone Ranger show. Where is he? He's supposed to, I just shot a gun. He's supposed to come over the hill every time he hears a gun. And if central bank doesn't come over that hill, you're in deep trouble.
Real deep trouble.
Yeah.
And, but at this point, it's almost like the Federal Reserve holds everyone's hands there, or holds the bank's hands. And there's a level of trust now that exists. So, we haven't seen that change. That's been sort of the norm.
Well, there's people though that think, $4.5 trillion is enough trust to give the banks. I mean, if it's going to be 20, they're still going to do it.
I don't know. I don't know if there's no end in sight right now, in my opinion.
No, but I mean, what is? It's like go back to the marathon example. There is too much water.
Yeah, and it hasn't filtered through the economy yet. And I think we all as traders kind of know that, or at least we're trading our assumptions around that.
Well, we're doing what traders do. We recognize it's a horrendous policy, and we're doing the best we can.
That's right. Yeah, I would say that. And, you know, working around it, and like anything else, when you're trading, you kind of look at the big picture, you get some market awareness going on, and then you have to form your own assumptions in order to place a trade. Are you bullish, bearish, or neutral? Those are your options.
We don't have a minute, and I'll say this kind of unequivocally. In 1981, when I started trading, you saw inflation high. We also knew there really was not much inflation, and it was a leading indicator number. It took a long time to filter through the system.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the bonds incredibly low and interest rates high. So it was just a matter of time before somebody would come out and say, hey, this is BS. This has got to go the other way because there really isn't that much inflation.
Right.
And right now I get this odd feeling. I know I'm early. I have been early for a couple of years. We're just the other spot.
I completely agree with you on that.
Talk about the mirror image.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden one day somebody's going to come out and say, hey, you people don't think there's any inflation. You're idiots.
Yeah. From the technical sense of where inflation comes from, that's exactly what we're doing right now. We're creating inflation. I don't know how you avoid the inflation part. A lot of times we counteract inflation with interest rates, but interest rates at 1.5%, it doesn't really lend much room. You know, 1.5%, we are causing inflation. I completely agree with you, Chief.
Hey, guys, great show. I really enjoyed it. SP Futures only up 1950. We're up 21, but still we're bouncing back 40% of yesterday so far, and maybe go higher. NASDAQ futures up 74. Thank you, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.